Hello, listeners and fellow explorers. This is Living in the Sprawls, lovely and talented producer slash fiance, Lisa Lowe. I wanted to thank all of you for your constant support of the show. As a new podcast on the scene, the number one way to support the show is to rate, review, and share this podcast with everyone you know. Many of you have been doing this, and it has helped immensely. You can also check out our website and the show notes for other ways to support the show. We have new merch on our website, and we are working with companies that we currently use ourselves to get discount codes for our listeners and support the research and work we do for the show in the process. These companies include Every Table Meal Delivery Service, which offers delicious, cost-effective meals delivered straight to your door. Just CBD Store, which offers great-tasting CBD-only gummies in a variety of flavors, and Miss to Mrs. Boxes for brides-to-be. My sister Jennifer surprised me with this box when I got engaged, and it was the most perfect, thoughtful gift. You can also support us on Patreon and PodFan. Please check out the website at livinginthesprawlpodcast.com for updates on companies we are working with, our testimonies, links, codes, and new Living in the Sprawl merchandise. Again, thank you to all of you, our lovely listeners, for tuning in every week and allowing us to do what we love. Without further ado, your humble correspondent, John Steinberg.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Living in the Sprawl, Southern California's most adventurous podcast. I am, as always, your humble correspondent and host. My name is John Steinberg, and sitting to my right, my better half, the lovely and immensely talented producer slash fiance. Her name is Lisa Lowe. We're going to bring you an amusing episode. I hate terrible puns, and yet I just uttered one. In any event, theme parks, amusement parks, places where we have fun, where we let loose, where we let other people quasi raise our kids for a couple of hours, they can mean a lot of things to a wide array of folks. But what's indisputable is that Southern California happens to be blessed with an inordinate amount of amusement parks. So today, we go inside, we take a look and rank the 10 Southern California amusement parks that are worthy of being included on your itinerary. For fans of amusement parks, it's important to know how far we've come. Comparing state-of-the-art amusement parks to those of yesteryear allows clear, irrefutable proof of progress. The first amusement park in the United States is considered to be Lake Compounds, just outside Bristol, Connecticut, and the ESPN headquarters. When I contemplate the idea of an amusement park, my mind instantly travels to Denmark, specifically Tivoli Gardens, where I was fortunate enough to see for myself what gave old Walter Disney the idea for his eponymous Disneyland. Many families structure entire years around vacations to Walt Disney World in Orlando, or they'll simply take advantage of local discounts, springing for an annual pass to the local water park. For our purview, the Southland is crammed with a cornucopia of adventure-related amusement park endeavors. Think of it like you would when evaluating a restaurant. Do we splurge on the 3 Michelin-starred name-brand amusement park? The one that our kids have been aching to visit? The one with the stuff that we know will cater to everyone? Or do we opt for the 1 Michelin-starred amusement park? It checks all the boxes, merits consideration, and effectively does the job without inviting complaints. Wherever you stand on the spectrum, Southern California has you covered. So let's go ahead and take a look at the 10 Southern California amusement parks that definitely need to be included on your itinerary. And we're going to start at number 10 in the mountains. An unlikely amusement park, Let's begin our list by discussing Sky Park at Santa's Village in the Sky Forest portion of Lake Arrowhead in the San Bernardino Mountains. This park originally opened in the 1950s. I remember growing up, staying up late into the wee hours of the night, and when the clock would hit roughly 12:30, you'd start to see these advertisements for Santa's Village. Even as a child, I knew there was something a little strange about the concept of an amusement park centered around Santa Claus. When I finally went to the theme park for myself, I was pleasantly surprised. Yuletide cheer was in no short supply, as my family and I enjoyed a wonderful day frolicking about, incurring much in the way of merriment. So that's the late 90s. There's a dark period with Santa's Village when the park became a veritable ghost town. It sat abandoned for 18 years before being purchased by outside developers with a vision to transform the once glorious Winter Wonderland into a contemporary reality. While the current version of Santa's Village, again rebranded as Sky Park at Santa's Village, doesn't have the onslaught of options as it once did. But the modern Santa's Village has enough to entertain young and old members of any family. And for those childless members of the community, the destination is widely recognized for its fantastic hiking, jogging, and running trails. The initial version of the park seems like it was striving to literally be a facsimile of the North Pole, whereas the version that exists present day has a little bit of a hipster edge to it, while not sacrificing its inherent holiday charm. A great place to take the whole family, from the grandparents down to the toddlers. We recommend Sky Park at Santa's Village in Sky Forest. Number 9, Wild Rivers in Irvine. As of the date when this episode is being recorded, Wild Rivers has yet to fully open at its great park location, but a target date has been set and plans are imminent for an upcoming opening. Wild Rivers was easily my favorite amusement park growing up in Orange County. It once stood adjacent to the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, pretty close to the Irvine Spectrum. The park was opened in 1986, occupying a plot of land that formerly housed a really strange-sounding lion safari park that was long gone by the time I came around. Wild Rivers was a spot where friends and family alike could celebrate the summer. The seasonal water park, and by the way, there are two kinds of people in this world, those who love roller coasters and those who love water parks, and I am firmly ensconced in the latter category. Now, Wild Rivers was, as I mentioned, a frequent spot of celebration. It was where we would go right after the bell had been rung on that last school day. Off to Wild Rivers we would head, a world of fun we would have. So when the park closed in 2011, I was crestfallen and very, very angry with the Irvine Company. But upon completion of the Great Park, covered on a previous episode of the Living in the Sprawl podcast, plans for an updated, modernized version of Wild Rivers to be housed at the Great Park. The best ride, as anyone would tell you, was the Congo Rapids, and fortunate for everyone, it's going to have a presence at the new Wild Rivers. Ditto Bombay Blasters and a couple of other familiar rides from the first incarnation of the park. Sometimes on this podcast, we like to do a bit of futures betting. So, though I haven't personally been to the new Wild Rivers by virtue of how much I loved the old one and the plans that I've seen for this new one. I am absolutely convinced that it deserves inclusion on this list. So, be there when the updated Wild Rivers Water Park opens at the Great Park in Irvine. You will not be disappointed. At number 8, Drytown Water Park in Palmdale. The park opened its doors in the year of our Lord 2006 and has enjoyed a steady stream of customers ever since. Appealing to both high desert and outside high desert residents, the water park offers a bevy of options for those yearning for a memorable day in the sun. There are 3 different towers at Drytown, which house the bulk of the park's rides. And when contemplating a water park, you've got a couple of basics that should be included without really having to think about it. You need a lazy river. You need at least one dark ride. And a dark ride is one in which the rider in question is always inside of a structure. And when it comes to water parks, we're mostly talking about tubes. You need a carpet water slide. And you definitely need the water equivalent of a big ticket roller coaster. And Drytown has all of these bases covered and much more. And for those weary customers issuing prolonged sighs after being told prices of other regional water parks, you'd be happy to know that you can get a season pass for Drytown for $75 American. Open from Memorial Day through Labor Day annually, Drytown stands as a decidedly more cost-efficient option for parents looking to take out their kids without having to take on loans in order to do so. Drytown will not reinvent the notion of what a water park is supposed to be, but it will definitely cater to any of your water park-based desires and at a fraction of the price. A lot to love for a reasonable amount of money. We recommend Drytown Water Park in Palmdale. Number 7, Castle Park in Riverside. Castle Park opened for business in 1976, again serving as a more reasonably priced alternative to other theme parks in the region. Ghost Blasters is maybe my favorite ride, but the park has 22 different rides for any and all members of the family to enjoy at their leisure. You've also got an arcade, miniature golf course, and the stuff that you would typically find at like a Boomer's. But what separates Castle Park from its competitors is that selection of 22 rides, ranging from a couple of pretty intense roller coasters to rides designed for the youngest members of the family. For members of the Inland Empire community, Castle Park has long been a childhood staple. Whether it's picking off ghosts in the aforementioned Ghost Blasters ride, or feeling weightless during a trip aboard one of the park's vaunted roller coasters, Castle Park will delight all those who choose to check it out. There aren't a ton of no-brainer options for where to take your kids in this part of the sprawl, making a day trip to Castle Park a veritable oasis in the desert. It's Riverside's Castle Park at number 7. And number 6, Carlsbad's Legoland. Legoland opened just before the new millennium, inviting customers to come in and check things out in 1999. And since its grand opening, the park has quickly become a Southern California stalwart for those looking to act out their inner child or take their literal child to have a tremendous day at the park. Now, I don't want to go over some of the lands within the park too much because they change quite often. But suffice to say, since its opening, Legoland has had Star Wars-themed designs. There was also a pirate-centric land. And as of this recording, the newest land within the park is the Lego Movie Land, dedicated to all things cinematic that can be presented with the help of some incredibly fun Legos. There's a water park on site. It's an additional cost, an upcharge, if you will, but it is available, as are a collection of upscale hotels, so you don't have to battle that infamous Southern California traffic at any point during your visit. Legos, unlike, say, Mr. Potato Head or Cabbage Patch Dolls, have managed to retain a stranglehold on the children's toy market. Parents pass down adoration for Legos to succeeding generations, who then in turn do the same thing, so that a modern venture to Legoland in Carlsbad can really unite the children's experience for all generations within the family. You will find a couple of really spectacular rides, mostly designed for children because it's Legoland. But when the kids are having this much fun and things are going this well, who cares if there's not all that much for adults to do? A terrific place to take the family for an unforgettable experience that your kids will be talking about decades onward. We love Legoland in Carlsbad. It's at number 6 on our list. Number 5, Six Flags Magic Mountain in Valencia. Full disclosure, I had no idea where Valencia was until I became an adult. As a kid growing up in Orange County, every time someone told me about Six Flags, I thought, wow, that sounds incredibly far away. But Valencia, not the one in Spain, is a part of the greater Santa Clarita area, the Santa Clarita Valley. The park has been around since 1971 and has earned a reputation for being a haven for thrill seekers. Though options do exist for younger members of the family, there can be no debate that Magic Mountain is principally designed for the 18 through 40 demographic. Ever since its opening in 71, a revolving series of increasingly more imposing structures have taken hold. Beginning with the Great American Revolution ride in the 70s, extreme roller coasters have been the park's stock and trade. The Twisted Colossus has been around for decades. Well, it used to just be called the Colossus, but that's been around for decades. And since Warner Brothers licensed the use of its characters to Six Flags, their other extraordinarily fast rides have names that even the most uninterested of customers would recognize. Superman was declared the world's fastest roller coaster when it opened in the year of our Lord, 1997, going from 0 to 100 miles an hour in 7 seconds. There's Batman, the ride, Riddler's Revenge, the newly opened Wonder Woman, and of course, the fabled Scream. Some of the other places that we've mentioned thus far on the episode cater mostly to children, but Magic Mountain is for those of us that cannot be defined as children and maybe aren't completely ready to be labeled adults either. These are real deal roller coasters that rival anything just in terms of pure speed on the planet. Now, I found it interesting to learn that the company began in Texas, and the Six Flags name is actually derived from the Six Flags of Texas, where each flag represents one period of Texas history. Now, while the backstory has very little to do with Southern California, Magic Mountain has become entrenched in the thrill-seeking world inside the sprawl. Additionally, because of its proximity to Los Angeles, the park has been featured in a sizable number of film, television, and commercial productions. Most famously, the park stood in for Wally World in the Chevy Chase classic Vacation. It was also seen in True Romance, where Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette, and Michael Rapaport meet up with Bronson Pinchot. And for anyone who remembers the opening credits to Step by Step, it was prominently featured during those. For anyone looking to raise their blood pressure, or if you are an outright sociopath, to not do so at all, we suggest you head directly to Valencia and Six Flags Magic Mountain. No place like it in the rest of the state. Number four, Raging Waters. In the land of Bill and Ted, that's right, San Dimas. Those same infomercials that used to pervade across television screens at 12:30 p.m. on weeknights used to show these great commercials for this mythic place called Raging Waters in San Dimas that seemed like it existed on the other side of the planet to a kid from Newport Beach. But when I grew older and got to check out the park for myself, I quickly took a shine to it. Raging Waters is actually one of three in a franchise, with the flagship location established in San Jose. The park opened its doors in 1983, catering to the inland residents of Los Angeles, San Bernardino, and Riverside counties, as San Dimas is many, many, many miles away from the ocean. The fairly enormous park offers a mixture of rides and attractions catered to both young and old, with highly speedy dark rides, as well as a lazy river and a wave pool for those not looking for abject terror. Raging Waters has, as mentioned, both calm and the opposite of calm options for those who come to visit, as well as some kind of mid-range rides. They're not lazy rivers, but they're also not frightening dark tubes where you'll get going at speeds of like 45 miles an hour. A great option for the Inland Empire, but also one that speaks to many residents in all corners of the sprawl. Raging Waters has definitely earned its reputation as the premier water park in Southern California. When you study the history of water parks, very few of them live on for multiple decades. Trends change, fads die, and interest often wanes. But this three-decade-old water park still remains a linchpin in the Southern California amusement conversation. We suggest on one of those days when the temperature rises to 95 degrees and it's August and it's a Saturday and you don't feel like contending with the traffic or headaches that you'll incur in Malibu to head out to San Dimas and Raging Waters. It'll make you smile. We guarantee it. And number three, Universal Studios Hollywood, which is located in Universal City in the San Fernando Valley. This movie-themed paradise offers visitors a chance to interact with some of their favorite cinematic characters. You might find yourself enjoying a Dippin' Dots when you notice a woman with big, yellow, spiky hair coming around the corner. Fear not, you haven't seen a demon, it's merely Lisa Simpson. So this park was something that evolved over time, initially beginning as the brainchild of Carl Lamel, founder of Universal Studios, Universal Pictures, in the 1910s and 1920s, There wasn't a lot going on over the hill in the San Fernando Valley. So Mr. Lamell snapped up many, many acres and decided one of the things he wanted to get going was a park that would enable fans to interact with the world of movies. And from that initial vision, the seed for Universal Studios was born. Now, the park as we know it didn't get going for another several decades. But when it did, it quickly ensnared the public interest as it offered a veritable backstage pass into the world of Tinseltown. The most famous attraction has always been and continues to be the Backlot Tour ride. It's pretty simple. You board a tram, which drives you around the Universal Studios backlot. Along the way, you get to see the house from Psycho, Wisteria Lane from Desperate Housewives, the field where the aliens landed in the War of the Worlds remake, and of course, Courthouse Square from Back to the Future. Now, as is the case with basically all theme parks, as I've learned, some of the attractions or rides change as trends in society and pop culture do as well. There used to be an E.T. ride that I loved as a kid. That's no longer there. Same with Back to the Future. The Jurassic Park ride is now a Jurassic World ride. And the Wizarding World of Harry Potter has taken over a pretty hefty amount of the park's real estate. Las Vegas-style shows abound to excite and titillate visitors. For example, even though no one speaks longingly about the movie, the Waterworld Spectacular Show has been going on for verging on 2 decades, and it continues to amaze and astound. Transformers, Despicable Me, The Simpsons, Harry Potter, The Fast and Furious, King Kong, all your favorites are represented in full course at Universal Studios. There are a couple of other studio lot tours that you can do in the Los Angeles area, but there's something that's partially tacky and partially invigorating about the backlot studio tour at Universal Studios. When the tram stops and that iconic music begins as you encroach upon a little beach in a town called Amity, you'll know what I'm talking about. There really is a magic to filmmaking, and Universal Studios is the place that celebrates that pursuit in the best possible way. We absolutely adore Universal Studios and think it should be a part of your next Southern California sprawl experience. Number 2, Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park. This began as an idea from Mr. Knott, Walter Knott, in the 1920s, when he purchased a couple hundred acres in the Buena Park area. He wanted to use his newly acquired land for farming purposes, but also he wanted to turn that land into an attraction that could be celebrated by all. Enamored with the Old West, Walter Knott brought in planners and architects to help him construct what would become Knott's Berry Farm. Many of the park's first attractions were indeed themed in the vein of the Old West, inspired by the ghost town of Calico, which is a couple hours away from Las Vegas. Old West attractions gave way to more conventional theme park rides as the decades wore on. Stuff like the log ride was introduced, and with the passage of time, landmark attractions like Boomerang and Montezuma's Revenge were incorporated into the fold. A licensing agreement was struck so that Knott's could use Peanuts characters, allowing kids to rub shoulders with Linus, Lucy, and that eternal curmudgeon, Charlie Brown. The park is known for its annual October takeover, known as Knott's Scary Farm. During Knott's Scary Farm, the park is transformed into a terrifying playground for the macabre. People randomly stomping about the grounds will all of a sudden run up to unsuspecting visitors and get down on their knees with these really, really loud knee pads as they do their best to celebrate all things Halloween. There's a great historical component to the park, what with its origins steeped in a reverence for the Old West. There's a fun, look, I get to hang out with my favorite characters aspect with the connection to the Peanuts. There are some terrifying roller coasters for those inclined to enjoy that kind of thing. And then there's also some more high-minded, risk-taking fare, such as the Mystery Lodge attraction. If I could only go to one amusement park, this would absolutely be my choice. And if I didn't feel 100% obliged to put what you're all thinking is going to be at number one, this would definitely be atop the list. We love Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park at number two on our list. At number one, yep, there is no way around it. It has to be Anaheim's Disneyland. My father used to regale me with stories about visiting the park when it opened in 1955 and he was only six. Walt himself had a hand in designing the park, something that subsequent versions of Disneyland and Disney World would not contain. And he oversaw construction of his landmark playground after a visit to Copenhagen and their world-famous Tivoli Gardens, bringing it full circle. There's not a lot that I can tell you about Disneyland that you probably don't already know for yourself. It's indispensable, an absolute pillar of the Orange County part of the sprawl, and a place that many refer to as the Magic Kingdom. Here's what I can tell you. Every time that I've been to Disneyland, I try to go with a battle plan. It's much like the sprawl in general. You should have an itinerary every time you go. Disneyland isn't great for spontaneity. You should literally have your course of action laid out before you go. We're going to start in New Orleans Square, make our way over to Tomorrowland, circle back for a stop in at Toontown, that kind of thing. Like, have a game plan before you drop all the money that it takes to go to the park. Your kids will love it. You might as well. It's certainly going to cost you the same amount of money as a family cruise. So, if you can do Disneyland in an intelligent way, then yes, you and your family will have a wonderful time. Don't sleep on the teacups. They are an absolute trip. And that's going to do it for another episode of Living in the Sprawl. Want to thank everyone for their continued support. It does mean the world to us. Go ahead, hop on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. If you could write something kind, we would greatly appreciate that. You know, those iTunes reviews and the 5-star ratings have an outsized impact on the fate of a podcast. They can really be the lifeblood for podcasters, so please help us out that way if you could. If you would like to drop us a line, where did we mess up? Where did we help you out? Please write us. livinginthesprawlpodcast@gmail.com. Interested in suggestions for episodes on topics you would like to hear discussed on the program? Our social media, the Instagram handle is Living in the Sprawl Podcast. We would like to direct you to our spectacular website. And on this website, you have the option of buying merchandise, anything Living in the Sprawl related, from mugs, stickers, magnets, pens, anything and everything that you'd like is available on the site. Additionally, our concierge service is up and running. You give us 20 minutes and an idea of what you're interested in, and we will give you a truly outstanding itinerary for your sprawl travels. You can also purchase the Living in the Sprawl guide, a cheat sheet, so that you don't have to go through old episodes, rewinding and fast-forwarding looking for that one recommendation that you just couldn't remember exactly. All of that is going to be inside of the Living in the Sprawl guide, and we think it's going to help you out quite a bit. So, on behalf of me, your humble correspondent and host, my name is John Steinberg, and my lovely and talented producer slash fiance, her name is Lisa Lowe, want to again thank you for listening to another episode of Living in the Sprawl, Southern California's most adventurous podcast. Until next time.